Pro-Life to the Max is produced and broadcast by WOMB 89.9 FM Catholic Radio in Bloomington, Indiana.
Ave Maria, welcome to Pro-Life to the Max, a weekly half-hour radio program under the patronage of St. Maximilian Mary Kolbe that is dedicated to keeping you informed on local, state, and national pro-life issues and efforts and inspiring you to get involved. I'm your host, Monica Siefker, and I'm so very blessed and happy to be here with you today. Thanks so much for joining me. Well, the month of September has been traditionally set aside by Holy Mother Church in order to give honor to Our Lady of Sorrows. We, the faithful, are encouraged to increase our devotion and love for Mary under this title, and to spend some time pondering in our hearts the unique and singular role that she played in God's plan of redemption, most notably as she stood faithfully at the foot of the cross, uniting herself with her Son in order to help open up the gates of heaven for sinful mankind. Devotion to Our Lady of Sorrows is an age-old one. It stems from the prophecy of Holy Simeon in Luke chapter 2, verse 35, "And thine own soul a sword shall pierce." We know almost instinctively that whenever a mother has to watch her own child suffer, the level of distress and pain that is produced in her heart is agonizing. It's partly explained by the phenomenon called fetal microchimerism, which we discussed a few weeks ago, that creates this most intimate bond between mother and child. And this past Tuesday, September 15th, we celebrated the Feast of Our Lady of Sorrows. Fittingly, the day before that, the Church observed on the 14th the Feast of the Exaltation of the Holy Cross, the remembrance of the oblation made and ultimate victory of both the mother and the child are joined even liturgically. In those 33 years of our Lord's life here on earth, his mother prepared the victim for sacrifice, which she then offered to the Heavenly Father on the altar at Calvary. The dolors that are recalled every time we pray the Seven Sorrows Rosary are a good synopsis of those pivotal moments in Our Lady's life when she closely united herself to the victimhood of her Son. The Blessed Virgin Mary had two loves in her life, God and souls. Absolutely everything she said, did, and suffered had this in mind. We could say that Mary so loved the world that she gave her only Son. And it was through all of the torments that she endured as the Mother of God that she merited to be also the Mother of all mankind. This is at the heart of devotion to Our Lady of Sorrows. We're going to talk about Our Lady of Sorrows today and its connection to an approved Marian apparition that occurred just 25 years ago in the Italian city of Civitavecchia. I think you'll find this story opportune, and it will once again reveal the importance of our pro-life, pro-marriage, and pro-family efforts in our own community and in the world right now. We've got lots to talk about, but first let's begin in prayer. O God, Heavenly Father, it was part of your eternal decree that your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, the Savior of the human race, should form a holy family with Mary, his blessed mother, and his foster father, Saint Joseph. In Nazareth, home life was sanctified, and a perfect example was given to every Christian family. Grant, we beseech you, that all families may fully comprehend and faithfully imitate the virtues of the Holy Family, so that they may be united with them one day in their heavenly glory. Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, through your intercession, grant the graces that all families need to be sanctified and spiritually perfected, living out their lives in imitation of the Holy Family, who imitated most perfectly the sacrificial and self-giving love of the Most Holy Trinity. May all married couples have a deep reverence and love for all life, and may they be ever generous in welcoming new souls into their lives. May all families become as little gardens where God dwells and walks among the perfumes and fragrances of their sacrifices and love for one another. Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, to you we commend all families and married couples and beg you to bring about a great renewal in our society so that it may become a culture of life and love. Amen. And let's go now to this week's In the News.
Music.
Bayer Pharmaceutical Company has just announced that it will pay roughly $1.6 billion to settle the nearly 39,000 lawsuits filed against it by American women who allege serious device-related injuries from the permanent birth control Esure. Esure came on the market back in 2002 after receiving FDA approval. In the implantation of the device, two tiny flexible metal coils are implanted into the fallopian tubes, causing, by design, inflammation and scar tissue buildup in order to prevent a pregnancy. After several years of being on the market, the FDA required physicians to give patients a 22-page educational brochure about the risk associated with its insertion. Problems with Esure became so common that in 2011, a woman who had been injured from its use launched a Facebook page where over 40,000 followers chronicled their horror stories from the device. Esure has led to chronic pelvic pain in tens of thousands of women, severe headaches, and even deaths due to the perforation of the fallopian tube or the uterus by the device. And according to Live Action News, the abortion industry, and in particular Planned Parenthood, is making a killing off of the abortion pill. Live Action estimates that the abortion industry is grossing nearly $200 million annually in abortion pill sales, with Planned Parenthood accounting for half of that amount. The actual cost of the combined pills, which consist of mifepristone and misoprostol, averages under $100. However, they are sold to abortion clients at nearly six times the cost. Live Action notes how there is too little involvement of abortion providers in the abortion pill process to account for such a sizable markup. What previously passed as abortion care has since been reduced to little more than a drive-through abortion pill service, the pro-life organization stated, while cost to abortion clients remained almost identical to that of a surgical abortion. Current data suggests that nearly half of all abortions in the U.S. are now done using the medication. Here locally, from information gleaned by sidewalk advocates from women going into Planned Parenthood, the cost of both a surgical and chemical abortion is $900. Finally, 22 women came to 421 South College Avenue this past Thursday to end the lives of their unborn children. Sidewalk advocates were on hand all day long to offer love, hope, and help to the women who came from Kentucky, Tennessee, and various Hoosier counties. Deb Nucatola was back in town once again to perform the life-ending procedures. 40 Days for Life begins this coming Wednesday, September 23rd, so be sure to register for some hours to pray there at the Bloomington Planned Parenthood, especially for the conversion of Nucatola and all who work there. A special opening prayer vigil will be held on Wednesday from 9 to 10 a.m. The event will be broadcasted live on Womb Catholic Radio 89.9 FM. And that's your weekly In the News. Well, in her revelations, St. Bridget of Sweden said that the Blessed Virgin Mary appeared to her one day, complaining of the indifference to her sufferings on the part of so many Christians. Our Lady told St. Bridget, "I look about me to see whether I can find anyone who has any sympathy for me and thinks of my sorrows, but I find only a few. But, my daughter, if so many forget me, do not thou forget me. Remember how much I have suffered. Endeavor to imitate me as well as thou canst, and suffer along with me." Well, the month of September is a good time for us to renew our devotion to the sorrows of the Mother of God and to offer up our own small pains and trials in union with hers. St. Thomas Aquinas defined the word devotion as the will to do promptly all that pertains to the service of God. In other words, if we have true devotion, we will say to God, "Behold, I come to do your will." Having true devotion to Our Lady gives us the grace, the example, and the inspiration to imitate her, especially in fulfilling perfectly God's will. And with all the sorrows and tragedies in our world today, most of which stem from all the grave sins being committed, we must turn to Our Lady of Dolors and her Seven Sorrows Rosary to help us fulfill the will of God in our lives right now. Actually, the importance of Our Lady of Sorrows was given to us at Fatima. In the sixth and final apparition on October 13, 1917, Mary came as Our Lady of Sorrows. When the apparition began that day over the holm oak tree, as rain poured down and drenched all who were present, Lucia asked her usual question, "What do you want of me?" Our Lady responded that she desired that we pray the rosary every day, ask forgiveness for our sins, and amend our lives. Lucia recalled how the Virgin then became greatly saddened and said, "Do not offend our Lord any more, for he is already much offended." Then opening her hands, her own radiance was cast onto the sun, and the great miracle of the sun began. Of course, you probably know that while that miracle was going on, the three little seers, Lucia, Lucia, Francisco, and Jacinta were given three different visions, each symbolizing the mysteries of the rosary, the joyful, sorrowful, and glorious. The second scene involved a vision of Our Lady of Sorrows, who was with her son, overwhelmed with grief on the way to Calvary. Years later, Sister Lucia would give her own interpretation of this vision of Our Lady of Sorrows. She wrote, "God wishes to show us the value of suffering, sacrifice, and immolation for the sake of love. In the world of today, hardly anyone wants to hear these truths. Such is the extent to which people are living in search of pleasure, of empty worldly happiness, and exaggerated comfort. But the more one flees from suffering, the more we find ourselves immersed in a sea of afflictions, disappointments, and suffering." Well, there's a lot to reflect upon in Sister Lucia's statements. Devotion to Our Lady of Sorrows helps us to see just how much Our Lady and her son suffered for love of us. It helps us to realize how terrible sin is and how much it costs the two most innocent souls of Jesus and Mary. Devotion to Our Lady of Sorrows should help us not to sin and to embrace suffering. It should help us to offer up our own hardships and voluntary penances out of love for God and souls. During the July 13th apparition, Our Lady of Fatima told the children, "Make sacrifices for sinners and say often, especially while making a sacrifice, 'O my Jesus, this is for love of Thee, for the conversion of sinners, and in reparation for offenses committed against the Immaculate Heart of Mary.'" Devotion to Our Lady and the Seven Sorrows Rosary should be an indispensable part of our pro-life prayers and efforts. I'd like to give an example of how reflection and meditation on the Seven Sorrows of Our Lady can help us in our own lives so that we can have true devotion and do the will of God in building up a culture of life and purity. I'll use the second sorrow of Our Lady, the flight into Egypt. Now, imagining the Holy Family as they made that long, arduous journey into a pagan land, it isn't hard to think about the inclement weather that they had to endure, the rugged terrain, all the uncertainties they had to face in finding shelter, food, a place to rest, and the threat of robbers or wild beasts along the way. Our Lord, His Holy Mother, and Saint Joseph endured all of this for love of us. We can think about what Joseph and Mary bore in order to save their son from the tyranny of Herod, how much they loved him and were willing to sacrifice for him. This little exercise provides a good examination of conscience for all parents, and especially those mothers who are with child and are tempted to think that abortion is acceptable. It can also help us to scrutinize the efforts we put forth to help pregnant women and their children. We can ask ourselves, how much do we allow ourselves to be inconvenienced in order to help end abortion? How much are we willing to suffer for it? When we are out praying in front of the Bloomington Planned Parenthood in the cold, wet rain or on a frigid, blustery winter day, we can unite ourselves with the Holy Family as they made their journey to Egypt amidst some very unpleasant conditions. There's something else we can contemplate, too, within this second sorrow of Our Lady, one that will help us to commiserate with her sufferings and join our little pains and trials with hers. Now, let's remember that Jesus, Mary, and Joseph were on their way to that land where, many years prior, Pharaoh had ordered all newborn Hebrew boys to be ripped from their mother's arms and cast into the Nile River. Pharaoh had feared the Hebrews because they were becoming too numerous, and he had thoughts that they might overtake the Egyptians. Thus, he ordered the infanticide. As the Blessed Mother journeyed to Egypt with her divine son in her arms, surely the cries of those slain innocent children and that of their mothers echoed hauntingly within her heart. No doubt she recalled how Moses had been kept safe and hidden by family members, escaping Pharaoh's death sentence, to eventually lead the Hebrew people out of Egypt in slavery and into freedom. There in her arms lay the new Moses, who would one day lead his people out of the slavery of sin and into lasting freedom. As family members did for the first Moses, Mary and Joseph likewise were doing for the new Moses, keeping him safe and hiding him from the present slaughter of the innocents, which King Herod was perpetrating against all male children 2 years and under back in Bethlehem. Again, as she took flight, the mournful and dreadful cries from this new infanticide must have reverberated in her most pure heart. Perhaps she pondered how that first Exodus, when God's people were delivered from their enslavement to the Egyptians, was preceded by a slaughter of innocent children, and that the second Exodus, when God's people would be delivered from the slavery of sin, likewise was being preceded by a slaughter of the innocents. Only this second Exodus would eventually require the divine child whom she held in her arms to be slain and sacrificed. Those forlorn cries of the slaughtered innocent children, both past and present, surely enveloped and pierced the heart of the Blessed Virgin Mary as the Holy Family made their flight into Egypt. But is it possible that she also heard the future cries of yet another massive slaughter of the innocents, those billions of children who would be put to death within their own mother's wombs? Surely so. We cannot even begin to imagine the agonizing pain in her heart when completely innocent children are massacred. They, above all others, remind her most of her son because of their innocence and purity. So does this current feticide, this new slaughter of the innocents, also pretend some historical and salvific event? Well, we can only hope and pray so. And we can be confident that God will ultimately bring a greater good out of all of this bloodshed, just as he's always done. So while praying the second sorrow of Our Lady, the flight into Egypt, we should make it a point to unite our own tears and lamentations with Our Lady's, weeping for all of the children who have been lost to abortion because they are no more. We know that when someone is in deep pain and sorrow, the shedding of tears very often accompanies the suffering. And how many tears did Our Lady shed in her life here on earth? Well, she continues to do so mystically, weeping for her children here on earth. And we actually see this extraordinary phenomenon in some of the Marian statues and images throughout the world that weep tears, blood, or oil. One such remarkable incident that I'd like to talk about today because of its very timely and important messages involved a statue of the Madonna that wept tears of blood in the garden grotto of an Italian family in Civitavecchia, a port city about 37 miles northwest of Rome. The messages associated with this event warned of diabolical attacks on the sacrament of matrimony and on families. The first supernatural occurrence took place on the Feast of the Presentation, February 2nd, back in 1995. And in the interest of full disclosure, I do want to say that these incidents that took place have not been without some controversy. The evil one likes to get his tail into everything. But the Bishop of Civitavecchia, Monsignor Grillo, has officially recognized it as being supernatural in origin. There is also a Capuchin theologian named Father Flavio Ubodi, who fully supported the bishop's decision. Father Ubodi is probably the greatest expert on the events that transpired in that city some 25 years ago. He actually served as the vice president of the Diocesan Commission of Inquiry. Well, it all began on a Thursday afternoon, February 2nd, 1995, around 4:30 p.m., as the young Grigori family was preparing to leave for Mass in honor of our Lord's presentation. Little 5-year-old Jessica was in the family garden, waiting for her parents and younger brother David, when she suddenly saw tears of blood streaming from the left eye on the statue of Mary down to her heart. In a few minutes, her father, Fabio, joined her and also witnessed the incredible incident. The statue would go on to weep another 13 times, with both family members and those outside the family witnessing the extraordinary. Later in the spring of 1995, Fabio, his wife Anna Maria, Jessica, and David would all experience apparitions of the Blessed Virgin Mary and her son. Then, beginning on July 2nd and ending on May 17th, a year later in 1996, the members received a total of 93 public messages. It's interesting to note that in this supernatural event that centered around the importance of the family, Our Lady made sure to include each one of its members in these mystical events. Looking at the messages themselves, Our Lady came to warn of the dangers that were looming over humanity. Satanic attacks on the institutes of marriage and family, an apostasy from the true faith, the dangers of a third world war, and a warning that the prophetic vision of the third secret of Fatima was about to unfold at the end of the second millennium. Our Lady at Civita Vecchia, as she did at Fatima, stressed the importance of devotion to her sorrowful and immaculate heart. She also spoke of the coming final victory over evil with the triumph of her immaculate heart. Well, a statue of Our Lady weeping blood portends a very serious message in and of itself, but Our Lady felt the need to add to the already present gravity with some spoken words. "Children," she said, "the Church has entered the period of great trial, and in many of you the faith will become unstable. Satan is taking over all of humanity, and now he is trying to destroy the Church of God through many priests. Don't allow it. Help the Holy Father. In Rome, darkness is descending more and more on the rock that my Son Jesus left you on which to build up, educate, and spiritually raise his children. I invite the bishops to return to being one of heart, full of true faith and humility. My children, the darkness of Satan is now obscuring the whole world, and it is also obscuring the Church of God. Prepare to live what I had revealed to my little daughters of Fatima." Finally, Our Lady begged, "Don't make me cry my son's blood anymore." Some very somber messages there. Our Lady came to the Gregori family under the titles of Queen of the Church and Queen of the Family. The Blessed Virgin told them that Satan wants to destroy the family. Our Lady spoke much about how performing acts of love within the family would help stave off the destruction. She said that praying the family rosary was an essential means of defeating the enemy of souls as well. That little 5-year-old girl, Jessica, who was the first to witness the tears of blood, eventually felt a strong call to marriage rather than the consecrated life, precisely because the will of God was for her to witness to the beauty of marriage and family life in a time when evil was literally hell-bent on destroying them. How prophetic was this 1995 supernatural event? We see the marital and familial wasteland all around us. Divorce, cohabitation, hooking up, same-sex marriage, widespread promiscuity brought about by contraception and abortion. It's like an atomic bomb has been dropped on the world. The statistics on marriage and family aren't pretty. The most recent data states that more than 45% of American children, by the time they reach late adolescence, spend some time without either a mother or a father in the home. 80% of black children are raised by a single parent, as well as 2/3 of all children whose mothers have less than a high school education. More than half of Hispanic births are out of wedlock, as are 28% of Caucasian births, up from just 2% in 1960. Marriage, which provides economic and social stability to both men and women, and a loving, nurturing home for children, is in serious decline. The percentage of women between the ages of 15 and 44 who are married has dropped from 71% in 1962 to just 42% today. The percentage of never married women between the ages of 30 and 34 has gone from just over 5% in 1962 to 35% in 2019. Cohabitation now precedes 2/3 of all marriages, compared to just 1% in 1960. This has contributed to the staggering increases in unwed childbearing, with only 5% of children in 1962 being born to an unwed mother, and 40% today being born to an unmarried female. Rates for minority families are even more alarming. 64% of black women in their early 30s have never been married, resulting in the astonishing 80% of black children being raised by a single parent. These statistics and the fruit produced from them explain why Our Lady was weeping blood at Civita Vecchia. Children do best physically, mentally, and spiritually in stable two-parent homes, especially when together both parents sacrifice for their children and love them. We absolutely must have a restoration of marriage and family. Otherwise, society will continue to disintegrate and ultimately collapse. Now, in the messages of Our Lady at Civita Vecchia, she made it clear to the members of the Gregori family that these apparitions were linked to her apparitions at Fatima. And that's really pretty easy to see because at Fatima, Our Lady warned that the errors of Russia or communism would spread. The goal of communism and even socialism is to destroy or abolish the family structure. And of course, who suffers the most in all of this? The children. And I know we've mentioned before that prophecy of Sister Lucia, the Fatima visionary, who said that the final battle between God and Satan will be about marriage and the family. It's all playing out right before our eyes. But as hard and sorrowful as all of this is, let's not forget the words of Sister Lucia, who concluded her statement with, "However, Our Lady has already crushed Satan's head. So we are fighting from the point of victory." And in a message of great hope, Our Lady at Civitavecchia stated that after the painful years of Satan's darkness, the years of the triumph of her Immaculate Heart are now imminent. It's like Fatima and Civitavecchia were the bookends for the 20th century to prepare us for what will be unfolding in the 21st century. Well, we've discussed several different approved Marian apparitions and messages on these Pro-Life to the Max shows, and there's a very important reason for that. These are very, very difficult and challenging times, both within the church and throughout the world. Our Lady is the best mother, and she wants us to know that she has not abandoned us and that she is right here with us. These are urgent times, and so she comes to us. We have everything we need to know contained in sacred scripture, in the catechism, in the sacraments. But sometimes what we really need is our mother. I'm sure you're like me. When you're really sick, especially as a child and even often as an adult, you just want your mom. Well, both the church and the world are very sick right now. In the many and various approved apparitions, Our Lady has come to us to give us the medicine we need by instructing and preparing us, loving us, and giving us hope. Her words are like balm to our poor spirits. And she weeps because she sees her children suffering so far from her Son and so far from the truth. We are destroying God's creation and helping Satan to set up an anti-creation, especially through abortion and gay marriage. How well can we appreciate St. John's words in his first epistle, chapter 5, verse 19? We know that we are children of God and that the whole world is under the control of the evil one. So as children of God and of His most holy mother, let us take to heart her messages and live them out so that we may walk as children of light in this dark world. And let us thank God for having given us such a tender and loving mother. Thanks so much for joining me. Until next time, let us heed the warning of St. Maximilian Mary Kolbe that the most deadly poison of our time is indifference. Let's pray for one another that we may be consumed with a desire to save lives and souls, to give the greatest possible honor and glory to God. Ave Maria.
Thank you for listening to Pro-Life to the Max, a production of WOMB Catholic Radio. To learn more about this program and how you can help us to continue to produce and broadcast this content, visit us online at WOMBradio.com.